And I'm Katie, and this is
One Kiss Means Forever.
This is the podcast where we talk about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds that make you look at your best friend you've known for 15 million years and go, oh, you're actually cute and maybe we love each other? You know what I mean. We're talking about the movies you find on Hallmark, Netflix, Ion, Spirit Airlines. I don't know. all the spots. What do we have all today, Hannah?
So today we are talking about a movie that aired on Hallmark Channel on October 5th, 2019. And it is called Over the Moon in Love. With her matchmaking business on the verge of closing, Brooklyn finds herself in the unique position to be featured in a magazine, but has to set up the writer with her childhood friend, Devin. Which doesn't really tell you that this is Cyrano.
Yes.
And it stars and was written by Jessica Lowndes, and also stars Wes Brown.
Wes Brown. Yes. Well, let's just get into it. Jessica Lowndes with bangs is teenager Brooklyn, and Wes Brown in hat is teenager Devin, about to graduate high school. Devin clearly likes Brooklyn, but she's oblivious, dreaming about opening up a matchmaking service. But they know they'll always be best friends because how could they not?
12 years later, and of course, Devin and Brooklyn have lost touch. But Brooklyn's matchmaking business has taken off. She's even matched a celebrity couple. She has the opportunity to be featured on the front cover of Lifestyle magazine. And Devin has reached out, having just returned to town. They meet up for burgers, and it's as if they hadn't been apart at all.
Brooklyn has a meeting with the daughter of the magazine's owner, Stephanie, who is also writing the piece, and gets to choose which matchmaking service gets the cover. Dev stops by, and seeing him, Stephanie decides that she wants to get set up with Devin. He's cute. Even though Brooklyn explains that she matches people based on a cosmic feeling that she gets, but Stephanie insists that Dev must be the guy and she wants to end up with him.
Brooklyn isn't sure why she is hesitant to set up Devin and Stephanie, besides the fact that it clearly goes against her principles as a matchmaker and like how she does it, even when she admits she is not seeing them together. But for the sake of getting the cover, she decides to ditch her principles and lie to convince Dev to ask Stephanie out.
Dev is still hung up on Brooklyn, which he admits to his brother, Matt, but does not want to disappoint her, so agrees to ask Stephanie out. And the date goes as badly as it possibly could. They go to a rib place, and Stephanie is a vegetarian. They have nothing in common, and they can't really talk to each other. But for some reason, Stephanie is still insistent that she wants Devin.
Stephanie has also convinced Brooklyn to throw a party for all her past and future clients in order to help get the magazine cover. I don't really understand why this is helpful, but fine, whatever. She is spending a ton of money that she does not have to throw this party and is stressing about it. But everyone around her seems oblivious to the fact that she's uncomfortable with the numbers being thrown around. Big fake smiles. Let's forge on.
Devin is very uncertain about Stephanie, but Brooklyn is pushing him. So he decides to give Stephanie a quick quiz that only Brooklyn has ever passed, somehow. Knowing Stephanie won't pass it either, Brooklyn has Stephanie patch her through on the phone and then pretends to be Stephanie over the phone so she can ace this quiz. And even though Devin isn't actually feeling any feels, he decides to keep trying with Stephanie.
Devin is singing at a wedding, and Brooklyn takes Stephanie. After they watch him sing, Stephanie gives Brooklyn an earpiece so she can listen to her conversation with Devin and feed her lines. While Brooklyn isn't totally on board with this idea, she still goes along with it. And when Devin admits to having been in love with Brooklyn since they were 10, Brooklyn is shocked and Stephanie is supportive of him moving on. He is realizing that Brooklyn will never see him that way, so decides to give Stephanie a real try.
Brooklyn is feeling shitty because she's realizing that she's made a huge mistake. And maybe Dev really is her person. But she's already given him to Stephanie, so now she's just mopey. Stephanie is still unsure about hanging out with Dev alone, so forces Brooklyn to join them and brother Matt at a street fair. When Matt arrives, Brooklyn gets her matchmaking feelings and realizes Matt and Stephanie are perfect for each other. So when Dev stops by to show her a song that he wrote, she confesses that she lied about the whole thing.
Devin is mad and won't talk to Brooke or Stephanie. And Stephanie essentially pulls her support for Brooklyn, meaning that this party she is throwing is going to bankrupt her rather than spotlight her. But what can she do? She knows she did the right thing telling Devin. That's all that matters.
Yes. So at the party, Brooklyn is nervous, but apparently Stephanie got her head out of her ass because she shows up with her father, letting Brooklyn know that she did do the right thing and implying that she still got the cover. Stephanie then goes to make sure Devin comes to the party. He was planning to, also having forgiven Brooklyn, but Stephanie gets sidetracked by Matt, who is indeed her person. Brooke and Dev reconcile on stage in front of everybody and sing a song together because the couple that spends 12 years writing a song will make it. And at some point later, another day, they kiss. And since one kiss means forever, at least this matchmaker has that credit to her name. Yay!
You want to know what my first note of this movie is when we see teenage Devin and Brooklyn?
What?
This is so Knuff energy.
Knuff energy?
Have you still not seen Barbie?
No. But I'm into it. And maybe by the time this drops, I'll actually finally see it. I'm like this close to renting it just to watch it.
You'll recognize the energy. It's like, oh my God.
Well, I don't know how that might relate to my very first note of this movie is I am very into Baby Wes Brown.
I was thinking about this. What makes it that sometimes the real actors can play the teenage selves and sometimes they are not allowed to?
I don't know.
And I like can't figure it out because like, I'm sorry, Wes Brown can't play 18.
He looked so cute, though.
But I did not believe he was 18. If you were like, he is 22, I would have been like, fine.
Sure.
I still wouldn't have believed you, but I would have accepted it. But 18, nah.
No, I mean, I get it. But they still made him look youthful enough. I got the point of it.
Yes. Yes, I know. Cute. I understood what it was doing, but I want to know the like, at what point do you like, where is the line of like, these people are too old. We have to have new children come in to play their teenage selves.
And it's a good question. I don't know.
When did they not do that?
You know, I always appreciate it when they do though, because when it's another actor, I feel like. I don't know. I feel like it's different. I get pulled out of it a little bit.
Which I understand. But, like, sometimes it just makes more sense to do it that way.
I agree. This movie has a lot of what the actual fucks in this whole movie. Most of them have to do with Stephanie, in my opinion, and the fact that she doesn't know how to have a conversation with a man that she apparently likes and wants to spend time with.
Yeah. Okay, should we just go into Stephanie and the craziness that is Stephanie? Because, okay, I couldn't figure her out just in general, because this movie posits that she is writing an article about a number of different matchmakers. But she only seems to be using Brooklyn, which would make her bias. But then also is not using Brooklyn, because Brooklyn is like, I don't think so. That's not your person. I don't see you together. And she's like, nope, that's what I want. And I'm like, that she literally just got done telling you that, like, she gets like a, you know, like a tingle when people are right.
And I had that same note, like, that seemed to be what Stephanie was interested in it, but then didn't trust it when it came to actually doing it. I think it's just because she saw Devin and had the hots for him and was like, okay, now I want you to be my matchmaker because that guy is hot. Help me get him. And
right. But like, if she's looking for love, then she shouldn't want that.
True. Stephanie is not good. She's not a good person. Or she's a dumb person.
Like, but I also, like, I couldn't figure out why she wasn't using the other matchmakers as well.
That's why I think it's just Devin. Like, she saw him and thought he was hot. Yeah.
But she had pitched to Brooklyn that part, like, she would set her up and, like, find her. That was like part of the pitch. And then she saw Devin and she was like, and I want it to be with that guy.
I see.
You know, and that's what I didn't really get. Whereas, like, either you're going to let them do their thing and see who works, or you're not.
I guess I didn't really catch that it was other matchmakers yeah. I thought it might have just been like other women entrepreneurs, or I'm not really sure.
That was my understanding, was it was like a matchmaking.
I'm sure you're right.
Article, which, no, why?
And then, like, I know that Brooklyn, I almost said Jessica Lowndes, I know that Brooklyn was going to be throwing a party anyway. Like, she wanted to have, like, a, you know, a gathering of the people, and that she thought might be a cool spotlight for the article or whatever. But it didn't have to be this big, lavish thing. And the fact that, like, if it was for the article, why wouldn't Lifestyle Magazine throw it, foot this bill? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand that.
I did not understand it either. Like, they kept calling it a soiree. And I was like, okay, to what purpose? Because that was the other part of it, was it seemed like it was, like, a lot of, like, past and future clients, except for the fact that nobody, like, it wasn't bringing anybody in.
I think she wanted to show off for the magazine and other people that she has such a high success rate of couples that are still together.
Yeah. Can we talk about her success rate?
100%.
Apparently 100%. Bullshit.
Right? Like, that's not a thing. It's not a thing. Because you don't know everybody that they ever meet in their whole life, you know? Like, what if their soulmate is in, like, Morocco or something?
Right.
Like, you're not going to go with them to Morocco.
Right. Like, I was like, no. I don't believe you at all.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. So Wes Brown is a musician. And he plays music. He plays things at a wedding, you know, weddings and other stuff, and he seems to have some kind of success. He seems to be big in Europe. And what bugged me the most about, like, all of this is the fact that, like, he's been writing the same song for millions of years, and he practices at this, like, coffee shop bar, this bar in the middle of the afternoon. And I have a note saying, those poor people who want to have a quiet lunch reading a book. And now there's live music.
I mean, his quote-unquote career was very confusing to me, because he seemed like he is a, you know, maybe like a musician for hire who is trying to make it as his own thing, but he's not really trying that hard. But also, he doesn't really work for money very often. But also, he's like been in the city, but now he's back. I like was like, what? We're just like, okay, sure. You do you. Weird man.
Like, it makes me feel like he'd be more, since he's an artist, more attuned to things. I don't know.
I don't know. There was a few times in this movie where I was like, who are these people and what are they doing? Like, I mean, Wes Brown, this character is so bizarre. So first of all, he thinks it's appropriate to pre-order on a first date when he knows absolutely nothing about this person, which, like, what?
Right. Right. But also, Hannah and I can attest, whenever you go anywhere with some people for dinner, you always look up what's on the menu to see if there's anything we can eat.
Right.
And, like,
also, like, I mean, I do put some of the blame on Stephanie because she met him at a rib place. What did you think was going to, like, you needed to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a vegetarian, when he was like, why don't we meet here?
Yeah. I agree, because, you know, the only thing that you would be able to eat at a rib place is probably something like mac and cheese. And I feel like she make like a comment or something about how she doesn't eat carbs or something? I don't know.
I don't remember.
She's not mac and cheese girl.
It's a bold choice to do ribs on a first date, even if you do eat ribs.
Because it's messy. It gets in your teeth, all over your face, on your clothing.
Yeah, like
that can move.
It's like, no, this is a, like, we're comfortable with each other food.
Yes. Yes.
Which is,
I agree,
very much not what's happening here. And then he says something and I, you know, my brain stopped and was like, what? He says he's never gotten past two dates with a girl. Is he a virgin?
I mean, one night stands exist, but you're right. That third date is like that's time to get busy if you're actually dating a person.
But also, I mean, he said it in such a way of like, I don't click with people like I've, you know, in that, like, I've always been in love with Brooklyn, so I've never found a person that I clicked with. And it's like, what?
I've often wondered about that with a lot of these rom-coms or these movies where they're like, you know, I'm just trying to find true love and blah, blah, blah. And so my question is often like, so have you ever had sex? Like, I know this is going to be so out of left field. I did not know I'd be talking about Amelie on this podcast, but I loved the fact that in the movie Amelie, great French film, they talk about how she's a dreamer. She's never really been in love before, but they do mention that she has had sex in, like,
right.
And because I'm like, okay, cool.
You are not actually mutually exclusive at all.
Yes. But should we talk about his quiz? His very generic quiz that somehow only Brooklyn has ever passed.
Well, you know what? I'm not actually surprised she's the only one who's ever passed it, because apparently one of the questions is, what's your favorite color? And the answer has to be robin's egg blue, which, like, are you a 4-year-old girl? Like, that's not.
His line after that is, robin's egg blue, I know the color well. Like, oh, do you? Oh, do you? Was it your favorite crayon as a kid? Oh my god!
Like, it was such a. It's so strange because it was that. It was like, what do you do at night? Or like,
yeah. What are your plans at night? What do you like to do when you go out? And the answer had to be live music. Or something like that. And then the last question was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the answer was, I don't intend on ever growing up.
Yeah.
And that's like, wow, she passed with flying colors. It's like, these are such weirdly specific answers. And B, it goes along our theory of these rom-coms where a perfect partner has the exact same – interests and likes as you, which we have talked about at length on this podcast and don't agree with completely. Right.
Well, like, you know, this character of Wes Brown, his partner probably should enjoy live music. That's probably a good thing for her to enjoy because she's going to have to go to that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Like, but the color thing is weird. The, you know, like, I feel like the, like, what do you want to be when you grow up question, like, it's all, like, you know, I guess you can go like, oh, they didn't interpret it the right way and that's why the answer is wrong. But like,
sure.
I don't also know. I just, like, I feel like it was such a strange, like, I don't feel like it really told you anything about anyone.
Agreed. I think that's sort of my underlying point that you hit the nail on the head and didn't know how to say it, is what's the point of these questions? Like, really, what does it even tell you about a person? Like, you can get a lot from a person's favorite movie, I think.
Sure.
You know, you can get a lot from, like, a person's favorite, like, maybe favorite color, but that doesn't tell me about their personality at all. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think you can get a lot from favorite color because I also think a lot of times people's favorite color ends up being the color that they look good in.
I don't know, because before I met my husband, I went on a really great date, and I said that my favorite color was blue and green and everything in between, and he was like, I didn't realize we could do a spectrum. My answer is sunset. And I was like, fuck you, that's awesome.
It's not perfect.
It's cute. And it gave me a sense of who they were as a person.
Yes, sure, absolutely. But like, I would say 9 times out of 10, if you ask somebody what their favorite color is, they're going to pick a color that they tend to wear a lot.
Sure.
And the two are probably related, but also, like, you are probably not going to get, like, a lot of, like, pale blonde people who love yellow.
Fair. Billy says his favorite color is orange, though, and he only really wears orange because of the browns.
Yeah, but that's why it's his favorite color.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
His favorite color is orange because his team is orange. Like, yes. That's, you know, like, I would want to interrogate that a little bit harder. Like, how much do you actually like the color?
Maybe it's his favorite chakra. Not that he pays attention to those things. I don't think we've talked enough about the whole Cyrano aspect of this.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset that when he was doing this test and she impersonates Stephanie. How did he not recognize her voice? Even with the bad whatever. And if I was Stephanie, I would be offended by that impersonation, to be perfectly honest.
Yes. And I would be sitting there like, okay, if this is the answer, I don't want to be with this person.
Yeah.
That's why Stephanie confuses me. I'm like, I don't understand why she, like, yeah, she thought he was cute. And then she, like, spent some time with him. She doesn't want to be with this person.
No, they don't like each other. Like, she doesn't like him at all.
Right.
And, like, and then when he declares that he has been in love with Brooklyn for however long years, 12 years, and she has zero reaction to it. Like, at that point, I'd be like, earpiece out.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, oh, then what are you doing? Go get her, or what, you know, whatever it
is.
Yeah. Like, either she's supportive or she's not, but like, it was very strange. Also, okay, tying it back into Cyrano with their little earpiece.
Yeah.
Stephanie is an idiot. Because she's got his earpiece in, and she is responding exactly how Brooklyn is responding. Mm-hmm. So when he says, like, oh, I did it for Brooklyn, and Brooklyn goes, me? And Stephanie goes, me? And you're like, sweetheart. You're like, what?
No, I said Brooklyn, not you. This, I didn't know you.
Right? Like, what? What are you talking about? It was just so strange. And that, like, nobody really calls her on it, or, like, but she was the thing about Cyrano is Cyrano knows he's in love with Roxanne.
True.
And apparently we go through all of this and Brooklyn is, it takes her forever to figure it out. And like her parents say, like, no, I think you're in love with him. And she's like, no. And you're like, yeah, you know all the answers.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
Pretty much, I think that what we've learned from these movies is if you have a friend, you are in love with them.
At least if it's your best friend of the opposite sex and you've been best friends for years.
I mean, it worked for when Harry met Sally. Like, it did. But sure. That took a long time. When we're off this episode, I have to, if I remember it, my the podcast I listened to, my movie podcast, ripped When Harry Met Sally to shreds, and I still don't know how I feel about it. But I mean, it worked for When Harry Met Sally. We all like secretly want that, whatever. But I also like know if they've been my friend for this long, I don't know if I'd ever be that close with a guy. Because what do I have in common? It's not like I can talk about my boobs hurting or my periods, you know? Like,
but I feel like for a lot of these, like either you are When Harry Met Sally, where they like kind of get to a like intellectual, we can talk about anything level.
Yeah.
Or you've known them for so long since you were so little that you kind of can. Like, or like your relationship is sort of like, this is what our relationship is and this is what we talk about.
Sure.
And like, you know, it is rare for two people who have romantic potential to be such close friends and not explore that romantic relationship, but be that close because usually you have other people.
Yeah.
And it seems like these people don't. Okay. Actually, speaking of. She has not left town. She's been there all these 12 years. I don't think she has any friends.
She must not, because she worked so hard. She just has her assistant who's also her best friend.
But like, she lost touch with her one friend. She like, she has her clients. You know, it's the kind of thing where like, she has nobody else to talk to.
Right.
In that weird way of like, well, yeah, of course you would fall in love with your best friend because it's your close relationship, period.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I had a lot of guy friends growing up and I still have them, but they're not my best friend.
Right. I think that's the difference is like, you know, when you want to talk to somebody about your boobs hurting, it's, you just generally don't call the guys. They're not
unless
helpful.
It's my gay friends, you know,
then sure.
Whatever. Then that's different.
Right. And then they're naming them and asking how they're doing.
Yes. And if we're in real life, they'll hold them for me. That's nice. Anyway,
there's one other thing I want to, like, really bothered me and I really want to touch on.
Let's do it.
Her ice cream. I don't know if this bothered you. It is very yellow. Like yellower than normal vanilla. And it's weird.
It's like soupy. It's a golden vanilla.
It's a gold. Yeah. It's like golden and warm.
It's warm cream.
It was so off-putting to me. I was like, no, eat ice cream like a normal person. Show me the scoops. Like, why does it look like almost like solidifying yogurt? Like, I was just like not into it at all. I was unhappy.
I didn't even notice that, but but I'll have to look out for that soup, that ice cream soup, when I never watch this movie again. Whoops. Hallmarks.
All right, they promise that nothing is gonna change.
They promise. Oh my gosh, so true. Can make money on careers that wouldn't actually make more money.
Mm-hmm. After 12 years, he remembers her order.
That was my next one too. Assuming people remember small details from 12 years ago. Like, wow.
Yeah. Mom pushes for love. Dad is on her side.
Oh. This is a real stretch, but I wrote special phrase for a feeling. Like, you know, the spark or whatever. She has the tingle from my nose to toes.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
They do literally fall into each other.
Yeah. The parents are overly invested in their kid's love life. I think he would have made an adorable couple.
Not letting someone say their truth.
Yeah.
Like stopping someone.
Very true. Their deadline is in weeks to get this party going.
We have deception.
We do. There's a moment where they're standing just a little too close. They have a couple moments, I think, like that.
Yeah. It's only ever been her.
Oh, it was always you. I think he actually says that, right? Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Never mind. Actually, well, we're going to get to it. Okay. We already talked about pre-ordering the food. Usually it's the bad guy that does it. But this time it was our lover.
Yeah.
Oh, and also uppity women don't do things like ribs.
True. True. Saying a line that doesn't apply because the line is being fed.
Oh, yeah. They have a memory box of only their memories.
They cannot be honest with themselves.
True. They are mistaken for a couple.
She has a signature necklace.
She does. The brother is the better choice.
Flowers have meaning.
They do, and they're always secret love.
Always.
Oh, my God. And this one means friendship, but also secret love. What is happening? Love. Okay, what I wanted to say was that, okay, there's a dumb description about love. There's always this big poetry. Love can never be fooled.
She is a matchmaker who's never been in love.
Oh, yes. I am at the big speech where you tell your true feelings.
I called it public declaration of love. Blech.
My last one is gratuitous singing.
I didn't have any more, but I love that. Because I did, in my notes, I did write, oh, this is just because Jessica Lowndes wants to be a singer.
Yeah. Completely. That was the whole point of this movie, was so she could sing along with a song that she helped write 12 years ago and didn't hear, whatever.
Bullshit. Okay.
Pretty Parade.
Pretty Parade. So I had one pretty and one anti.
Okay.
My Pretty Parade was, there was a white bicycle plant holder on the sidewalk, and I thought it was really cute, and it was, you know, it's painted all white, and they put like flowers in the basket, and
aww.
I thought it was really sweet.
Very pretty. All of mine are antis.
Okay. Well, do you want to do one?
Sure.
And then I'll go.
At one of the earlier weddings, or the wedding that I can't remember which wedding. I think it was the wedding he was singing at. There are these weird hanging circles that are hypothetically chic, but they're just like people were like standing behind them. I don't know. It was just wacky. So that was an anti for me.
Also at that wedding, Stephanie wore white to it.
She sure did. I had that in my notes, but it didn't get to it. And her dress is Robin's Egg Blue.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's – I thought it was so ugly. but it's like – overly flowered, and there's like these weird knobs on it. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Do you have any others?
I have one more.
Yes, and do it.
This is not really, I don't really know if this is truly anti or just a distraction or whatever. I was really distracted by everyone's teeth in this movie.
Oh, interesting.
They all seem to have no overbite. And I don't mean that in the, like, I guess, clinical term. But I felt like their teeth met at all spots, including in the front. You know?
Yeah, I feel that.
I found it really distracting.
No, I think I was distracted mostly by Jessica Loudon's teeth.
Yeah, hers were definitely like the standout ones. But everyone I was like a little jarred by, but hers was the worst.
It's fascinating. My last anti was the she definitely liked this like off the shoulder sort of cash look. And there's this one when she has him over to her house, and there's this like white slouchy sweater that I don't really understand, because it kind of looks like it should be off the shoulder kind of white actual sweater, but when she turned around, it was more like a shawl that had been tied in the back. Like it, weird. So I'm not really sure what the purpose of it would have been if I saw it at a store. You know, that was like, really, really strange.
Like crop top sweaters or.
Yeah.
We're like, well, boy, you don't keep me warm though. yeah. So across the universe.
He does. The line is, it's always been you. So I thought, you know, got to throw that into across the universe.
Sure. Sure. I had Wes Brown as a singer, like in the Graceland movies.
Yeah. I forgot it was him, to be honest.
And then my other across the universe is, even though his name is not Kenny, Kenny is in this movie. Yeah.
It's not part of the Kennyverse, but we love you, Nelson Wong. I didn't have anything else until Kiss Meter.
Same.
Okay. Kiss cool. Meter.
Kiss Meter. I gave it a 6. I said like the kiss itself could have been okay, but they were seated and it felt very rushed and like it was like an afterthought of like, shit, we didn't put a kiss in this movie yet.
Everything about it. Yes. I also gave it a 6. It's weird and like tacked on at the end. It looks very staged, but her hair looks good in it. So whatever.
And it's what they use for the promo picture of this movie is clearly from that section.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Katie, would you watch this movie?
No, I would not. I remember thinking it was surprisingly cute when it was on air. I remember kind of being impressed by Jessica Lowndes having written it. But this time around, all the what the fucks were just screaming at me. And I'm really sorry, but I find her to be so bad that, like I've never liked her very much. I'm sure she's a lovely person. I do not think she's a good actor. So I almost feel like it's a disservice to this script at all. I think it would have been much better with a different actress.
Fair. I so want to like this movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like I go in with the like, maybe this time, and then I'm just not, it doesn't happen. So like, I can't suggest other people watch it. It does not make me happy. I think I like the idea of it a lot better than I like the execution.
I agree. Like, the stakes are properly high. Everyone's motivation is sort of in the right place. But then, like, we've got weird, not real behaviors from folks. And it makes it like, what?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
Anyway.
We're not over the moon about this one.
Nah.
Where can people tweet with us, Hannah?
Yeah, so if you're going to tweet along with us or read the tweets even, we're at One Kiss Means Forever, where the one and the four are numerals. That's also our Instagram and our Facebook and our threads, all that stuff.
And if you'd like to email us for any reason, you can email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com. That's all spelled out like it is on our logo.
Thanks, as always, to Flint Pastures for our intro-outro music. His stuff's on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Make sure to rate and review us on your podcast app of choice.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks. More romance. Yay!
Yay!